Hi, I'm Brian Giuliano, part of the Global Fixed Income team here at Brandywine Global.
Hi, and I'm Anujit Sareen, Portfolio Manager on the Global Fixed Income team.
Today we're going to talk about a market that has really disappointed for almost a decade now. Corruption, mismanagement, just a general lack of direction. Back in 2009, when Jacob Zuma became president of South Africa, he brought with him a hope, a promise that tomorrow was going to be better than today for the majority of South Africans. And yet 10 years down the road, and in essence, he's delivered a lost decade. Anemic growth, a doubling of the national debt, just one challenge after the next. Credit rating agencies have downgraded South African debt multiple times now. Institutional stability has come into question. And even more broadly, questions around whether the South African democracy itself can be sustained. Anujit, I think that's a good place to start. What do you think about the state of the South African democracy today? Are things actually better than they seem?
I think the verdict from what we've seen over just the past few weeks that the South African democracy is actually in pretty good shape. There's no doubt there are governance issues at lots of levels of government in South Africa. There is corruption. There are ways in which governance could be substantially improved. Nevertheless, we just went through a period where Jacob Zuma, the president of South Africa, he lost support in an ANC election a few months ago, and there was tremendous pressure for him to step down and make way for Cyril Ramaphosa to take over not only as the president of the ANC, but as president of the country. And Zuma eventually stepped down. And the reason this is significant, or a couple of reasons why this is significant. One, a lot of the critique of Zuma had to do with his corruption and the scale of corruption that he supported throughout the government. And he is vulnerable to being charged and pursued in the courts for some of the infractions that he incurred while he was in office. So he had plenty of reason to make it as difficult as possible to prevent it, him stepping down. The fact that he stepped down anyway says that there is a process in place that even someone who has that kind of particular set of challenges, where he could go to jail, frankly, if he is indicted and convicted, the fact that the process, even for someone like him, with his support, was forced to step down is a very encouraging sign for democracy in South Africa.
Anujit, you mentioned Cyril Ramaphosa. So Zuma is out, Ramaphosa is in. Tell me more about Cyril Ramaphosa. Who is he, and what gives you the confidence that he's the right man for the job?
So it's good to just to maybe take a step back. Ramaphosa was there at the beginning. He was Mandela's right-hand man. And in fact was discussed as a possible successor to Mandela back then. However, at the time, he was pretty young. He was in his late 30s, and the ANC thought, look, let's go with somebody a little bit older, a little bit more seasoned, and encouraged him to just pursue his interest in the private sector, and he did very successfully. So his reputation today is someone that's a very savvy businessman. So savvy, in fact, he's been so successful that he doesn't need the graft, that Zuma pursued as aggressively as he did. So he's considered to be, someone with a high moral standard, but also very capable. So he carries that, I think, into this role. And some of the things he's done really just off the chute, I think, validate that view. So he has replaced the cabinet, the board, that is to say, on ESCOM, the utility agency of the government. He has replaced the cabinet with people that are very capable, well-regarded in their various expertise. He's brought a degree of just excellence to governance that we haven't seen in a long time.
I think his background is so interesting. You figure 25, 30 years ago, this guy's a union leader. He then becomes one of the architects of the post-apartheid constitution. His name is thrown around as a possible successor to Mandela. That doesn't work out. He then turns his career into becoming one of the most prominent businessmen in all of South Africa. And throughout the entire period, he stays actively involved in politics. So you got to believe that if there's a chance for somebody to turn this thing around, to have the kind of background that Ramaphosa does in the public sector, the private sector, you know, maybe he is the guy that can get it done. And Anajit, we talk about this all the time on the Fixed Income team. Leadership matters. Having a direction, being able to actually set up a roadmap for South Africa, I think is so important.
Yeah, and I would add that, look, you often need a change of leadership to change direction, you know, for a country. We saw that in Brazil a couple of years ago. Seen that in a number of emerging markets. The challenge with a change of leadership is that you don't always have institutional support, right? You get this outsider coming in, and that's great. It's a fresh face, fresh perspective, voice. But you don't necessarily get institutional buy-in from the rest of government. In this case, we have the best of both worlds. You have somebody who's very credible, but he's come up through the ANC. He has the support of the ANC. And so I think that allows him to be more effective than somebody from the opposition party, for example. There is no doubt there are constraints on Ramaphosa that he's going to have to consider and deal with. But I think we're starting from a much stronger point now than we were just a few months ago.
Energy, with all of the longer-term structural issues that South Africa has, at the same time, there's also a lot of low-hanging fruit that Ramaphosa can go after to really get things going. So give us an idea, shorter-term, longer-term, what can Ramaphosa do to really revive the economy?
I think there are a couple of things. The first is just as, you know, this slow, inexorable degradation of the story in South Africa that you noted earlier seems to have been arrested, at least at the level of governance and leadership. That matters. People do pay attention to what the rating agencies are thinking and saying about countries, and this is certainly something they consider a positive. He is, he wants to do a number of things. Certainly one of the first things that he has done, the first two things that he's done, the first thing he's done is to address the fiscal deficit. That has been an issue. South Africa needs to find a way to either cut expenditures, cut wages on the public sector side, or increase revenue, and he's trying to do both. This is prudent, orthodox fiscal management, the likes of which the IMF would be very supportive of. So I think he's going down a path that I think is constructive for how they need to address their fiscal deficit. And at the same time, I think he'd like to address some longer-term issues as well. I think he certainly recognizes that education in particular, that there's a lot more investment that the country can make in their human capital, let alone their fixed capital, that would improve the growth prospects of the country longer term. But he's got to start somewhere, and he's starting where he should, which is to start with governance, get the right people in place, let's look at the fiscal deficit, that we can address that at least to some extent on a shorter term basis. And the third thing he's done, actually maybe I mentioned this earlier, was ESCOM. You know, he went and immediately replaced the board, and that was a very quick and important signal. This government entity, which has been such a drag on the government sector, actually might turn around.
Confidence is up. Capital is coming back to the economy. The rand-dollar exchange rate is below 12 for the first time in almost 3 years. So clearly there's other people besides us who share some of the optimism we have for South Africa. So, Anajit, valuation-wise, is there too much optimism right now being priced into this market, or is there still room to go here?
Well, I would say to you that the opportunity in South Africa was there before this change in leadership. It's important to note the South African economy has been pretty weak for the last couple of years, right? They went through a recession a couple of years back. Unemployment, which is always high in South Africa compared to other countries, went from the low 20s up to 27%. Not just ignore the level of the unemployment compared to other countries. That increase in unemployment by 6 or 7 percentage points, that's pretty substantial. And we felt that would have significant implications for weaker wage growth and therefore weaker inflation in South Africa. And bond yields, particularly the 30-year bond in South Africa just a few months ago, was close to, actually somewhat north of 10%. 10% yields when inflation was falling at the time, it was closer to 5%. Headline inflation is now 4.5%. Core inflation is at 4%, and it's still falling. Given all that slack in the labor market, we think inflation could fall probably another percentage or point or two. And when you have bond yields that are at 10%, now 9%, that's a substantial risk premium in the market. Real yields on the order of 5, 6, 7%, depending upon your inflation view, that's pretty substantial. So the value proposition has been there, and we thought that value proposition was attractive regardless of who was in power. And with Ramaphosa in power, it's even more compelling because what he's doing on fiscal policy is going to reinforce the broader cyclical backdrop. Inflation is likely to continue falling. And at 9% 30-year bond yields, that's still a very attractive value proposition.
Energy, we talked about a lot of positives, a lot of things that could go right if Ramaphosa does start to execute on his plan. Tell us about some of the risks involved.
Sure. So I think the first risk that's worth noting is that Ramaphosa has the support of the ANC. However, the ANC isn't a uniform body either. So there are still large cohorts of the ANC that are Zuma supporters. And you can see this in the fact that Ramaphosa has had to place some of those Zuma supporters in certain cabinet posts in his government. That says that he does have to compromise, he does have to consider Zuma's supporters still, and that will constrain some of what he can get done. I don't think that constrains him on a shorter-term cyclical window. That is to say, he will, I think, reduce the fiscal deficit, and that has positive impacts on financial assets. But the longer-term structural changes that I think he would like to affect, that's a risk. The risk is that there's a part of the ANC that just limits how much he can actually get done on policy. I think that's one risk. I think the second risk, which is related to that, is that the longer-term growth story in South Africa is challenged. GDP per capita in South Africa is around $6,000. South Africa is in that classic spot of emerging markets that don't quite emerge, right? It can certainly become a much wealthier country if they do the right things. There's a lot they have to do on education, on infrastructure to get there. South Africa no longer enjoys the tailwind that it enjoyed through much of the 2000s when you had this massive commodity boom and China was ascendant. That story or that driver of growth isn't nearly as powerful today. While commodities have done better over the last couple of years as the global economy has improved, and that's positive for South Africa, not quite the bullish demand story that we had in the prior cycle. So there are going to need to be other drivers of growth. And that's a structural issue that Ramaphosa will have to address. And so it's still a risk. Can he actually get something done?
Well, it's clear that South Africa has a tough road ahead. The good news is that there finally seems to be an ability, a desire for both the people and the politicians to move forward so that the next 10 years look vastly different than the past 10. Thanks, everyone, for listening today, and please don't hesitate to contact us if you have any questions.